Today's Shi'ur is Masechta Chulin Daf Chaf. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Teaches us the Gemara Amr B'nei Reb Chiya, the children of Chiya, Reb Rashi Masechta Avodah Zarah, tells us the names of the B'nei Reb Chiya were Yehuda and Chizkiyah. Mitzvahs Malikam, as we've been discussing from our previous Shi'ur already, that the Torah HaKadosh tells us that when we shecht a bird in the base HaMikdash, the way it's supposed to be done is with Malika, now with Shechita. And they explain, Mitzvahs Malika, Machzah Simonim, you have to, the Kohen takes the Simonim of the bird, the Kohen and the Veshit, the Churei Oirif, passes them behind the back of the bird, or Moilik, and cuts and pierces them without breaking the spine and the backbone. And the reason this is done is that because the Malay Rame explains, the Pasuk says that there's a Chiv Shechita. This opinion holds that there's a Chiv Shechita by birds as well. And since there's a Chiv Shechita by bird, and you're not allowed to have that the birds should become a trefa before you shech the bird. And therefore they hold that you have to put the birds, you have to put the simonim before and back in front of you, that you should not need to pierce the back, to break the back, the spine and the mafrekis, which would make the bird into a trefa. So the way to do this is what, that's the only way to do so, says the Gemara. And of course, explained the Rishonim, that even though the Gemara is telling us that this is the way to do it by taking the simonim and cutting the simonim, it's still not the same as Shechita, because by Shechita you use a knife, and by Malika the halacha will be that by Malika the halacha will be that you require to use your fingernail to do the Malika. Ikadamri af machzer, but now there's a machlokes how to understand what we just learned. There's one version that says that you're allowed to do the Malika that way, but it doesn't mean you don't have to do it that way. And moreover, explained the Ramban and other Rishonim, according to this explanation, not only do you not have to do it that by moving the simonim, it's preferable not to do so. And the reason that they hold it's preferable not to do so is going to be because the simonim, because the Torah gave us a prescription on how to do Malika, and since the Torah gave us a prescription on how to do Malika, the Torah doesn't want it to do it. The Torah doesn't want it to do it any other way. Even though, indeed, what happens when we do Malika is that the bird is becoming a trefah first. Vika Damrin, and there's another opinion that holds Machse Simonim. As we've been explaining, you have to do the, you have to put the simonim in front of you to cut them, because as we've been explaining, if you will not do so, we're going to have a real issue that by breaking the shedra and mafrekis first, you're turning the bird into a trefa. Says the Gemara, Masabe Kamanda Amar Af Machzer, and says the Gemara, it makes sense that the Bnei Reb Chiya meant to say that you can do so. Mamai, why? Midiktani, because the Mishnah said, Hashoichem in Arif, if somebody does the shechita from the Arif, the chalacha will be the shechita's psula. But if he's moilik min ayrif, if he does malika, it's a kosher way of doing malika. Visal gadatach, says the Gemara. If what the Gemara meant to say was machzadah, if what the Mishnah meant to say, as the Bnei Reb Chiya are teaching us, that the halacha is that we have to put the simonim there. So if that's the case, so why my iriyah moilik? Why would only be kosher when Malika is conducted, Shoichet Nami, if you're shechting in such a fashion where you have the simonim cut, so then even shchita is acceptable that way. The Mishnah distinguished between shchita and malika. But if the way you're describing, asked the Gemara, malika is done, that the simonim are moved, so then there's no real big difference between shchita and malika. This way of doing shchita is acceptable. The only the Torah wants, when it speaks about shchita, as we keep on discussing in our shiurim, is that the simonim should be cut. And that's what's happening here. Ela laf shmamina. It must be that what the B'nai Rav Chiya meant to say, af machzir, that you could do malika by moving the simonim to the back of the neck. But that's actually not, as we explained from the Rishonim, the preferable way of doing malika. The preferable way of doing malika is by piercing the shedra mefrekis and then going to the simonim, which of course would be a disqualification of shchita. And misnisin, and that's what our Mishnah is speaking about. Our Mishnah is speaking about a situation with the lawyer hadar where the simonim were not moved. And since the simonim were not moved, that's why for Malika, it's satisfactory, and for Shechita, it would not be. Amar Yanai, to which Rav Yanai said, Yekabla ha-roivim. The roivim mean the young boys. And the Gemara calls young boys roivim for many different explanations. The one is, because we know the Torah speaks about the kruvim that were on top of the Aron, and the kruvim look like young boys. So he said the word ruvya is called young boys. Another explanation that I saw is that they were young boys, and they were in bar mitzvah. A boy that's below bar mitzvah is called rubyan, young boys. The another pshat that I saw, that the Torah speaks about a roiva kashus. A roiva kashus is somebody who shoots an arrow. These young boys are trying to be talmid chamim, and so to speak, shoot arrows. And says the Gemara, Yekabla haroivim et shuvasam. Diktani, the Bnei Rav Chiya, who said that if you did put the simonim behind, that would be a kosher malika, should accept what we're going to ask on them. Diktani, because our Mishnah taught us, nimtza kosher shchita, what would be a satisfactory shchita, pasul malika, is not satisfactory for malika. And vice versa, kashem malika, what represents a kashem malika, is pasul b'shchita. Lemute mai, what does the Mishnah mean to presumably teach us? Lav lemute, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that in the case of machzis simonim lechur ha'irif, we put the simonim behind the irif, and that's where you want to do malika, it would be, the loy, it would not be a valid malika. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. The Mishnah is coming to teach us, and that's the difference between Malika and Shechita, whereby Shechita, the requirement is that the simonim be cut, and by Malika, it's just the opposite. First the Shedra Mafrekis, and then the simonim. And the Torah specifically wants it to be done that way. The Ramban adds that we learned in our previous year that the Torah is most concerned that malika be done mimul oirif. And the Rabban wants to suggest that if the malika is done in a way that the simonim, if the malika is done in a way that the simonim are cut first, that would not fulfill the requirement of mimul oirif. Says the Gemara, that isn't necessarily what the Mishnah wants to teach us. Amar Rabba b'bachan aloi. But the Mishnah wants to teach us lamute shein v'tzipayrim, that only by malika can we do malika with the fingernail, but that's not the way shchita is done. So what the Mishnah means to teach us is that even though malika is done with the fingernail, but shchita cannot. But ask the Gemara, how could you suggest that that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us? Shein v'tzipayrim behedik tanala, the halacha of shein v'tzipayrim. We learned already in the Mishnah on Daf Tezvavam Beis that said explicitly, Chutz mimagel kotzav ha-shinayim v'tzipayrim, that with all these ways, it's not a valid shchita. So that's not what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. And it says, the Gemara, al-Amr of Yirmiyah, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us when it says kosher b'shchita pasim malika is a mute mail chamevi. As we learned many times, the proper way of doing a shchita is when moving the knife back and forth, and that's not the way to do malika with your fingernail. Says the Gemara, or asks the Gemara, Hanich lamadam malik maybe even malika pasul. Yes, according to the opinion that malika cannot be done that way. So now we could understand what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. But ask the Gemara, elamandam kasher that a malika is done with a back and forth fashion. Then the halacha ma'ikal meimer. So we're back to our question that we asked. The Mishnah is trying to differentiate between Malika and Shechita. So if we say that the halacha is the Malika, you can't put the simanim in the back. So now we have, now we can well understand what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. But if it's not teaching us that, and Malika maybe is not acceptable by Malika, what would be the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara, they're actually of the opinion that Malika Mevi by Malika is possible, and that's what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. By Shechita, we do Mevi, Malika Mevi, and by Malika, you don't do Malika Mevi. What the way you do it is only by piercing the neck, not by moving it back and forth. That says the Gemara, Amar of Kahana, as we speak about using a fingernail, there's a question, as we've learned, a fingernail certainly cannot be used for shchita. The question is, what would be if you're using a fingernail for malika, and it's a fingernail that's about to be cut. Will that be considered a fingernail that's kosher for malika? Or will we say that since it's oimeli talish, since it's something that's going to have to be detached, therefore it's not considered, doesn't have the status of a tzipirin. And if it doesn't have the status of a tzipirin, it may not be used for malika. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Kahana, Mitzvahs Malika, how is Malika done? Kaitzitz V'yorid, as we just said, the proper way of doing Malika is by piercing without doing Halacha Vayva. And that, Mezui Mitzvasa, and that's the proper way of doing the Malika. Says the Gemara, Sover Rav Oven Lameimah, Rav Oven assumed, Kaitzitz V'yorid in, that only if you pierce the neck, that's when it's going to be a kosher malika. Malika maybe if you go back and forth malika, then it won't be a kosher malika. And that's the difference between malika and shechita. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah says that if we're saying that a proper malika is done with piercing the neck, kolshkein, he suggests that malika maybe by malika kosher. Going back and forth by malika should be kosher. And the reason why it's kosher, if shechita, which is the proper way of killing an animal, is done with back and forth, we see from here, Rabbi Yirmiyah's opinion is, that a back and forth movement is a much more powerful movement than going by piercing. My vote, if that's the case, what was meant when it said regarding Malika Zuhi Mitzvasa, to mean, it doesn't mean that it only could be done that way. What it meant to say was, Av Zuhi Mitzvasa, this is also considered a legitimate way of doing Malika. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Kol HaKosha B'Shechita, should anything on any place in the neck that Shechita could be done, Negda Be'arif, anywhere on the back of the neck, will be Kosha Malika. Ask the Gemara, this halacha that is halacha that we learned explicitly in the Mishnah. So that can't be what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? What is Shmuel coming to teach us? Hasha possible shechita, any area that would be disqualified for the shechita, possible malika, will be also pasul for Malika. Ask the Gemara Lamutin Mai. Exactly what the Mishnah, what's he coming to teach us? And as Rashi explains, it can't be that he's coming to teach us that higher up on the back of the head, you can't do Malika. Because as we learned in our previous year, that we already learned from Psukim. Ilema, so you're going to suggest that he's coming to teach us Lemute Ika Samanim, that if you did Shechita by removing one of the Samanim before you finish doing the Shechita, that that will be a disqualification. When we learned earlier in our Masechta that there are five rules of Shechita, and the Gemara told us that the five rules of Shechita are Shia, Drusa, Chalada, Hagram, and Iker. So till now, we've been focusing, when we speak about Iker, we've been focusing on the knife that we use to do the Shechita. And if the knife has any begima, we've learned that that's Iker. But now, what we're coming to say, Iker has another definition. Iker has a definition if the simonim are not in their proper place, Iker, they were not where they're supposed to be, that will be a disqualification as well. And that's what he's coming to teach us, that not only by Shechita is the aloch of the simonim are not in their proper place, it disqualifies the Shechita, by Malika as well, if the simonim are not in their proper place, it disqualifies the Malika. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that that's what the Mishnah is teaching us? Because ask the Gemara, Tani Rami by Cheskel, ain't Iker Simonim ba'if. His opinion is that this is, in general, if the Simonim are not in the proper place, the halacha is that that's not considered a disqualification of the Shechita. So it's very interesting. There's a Shaila, the Har Tzvi, and the Shaila Teshuvas Har Tzvi discusses going back to his times already, that when they would shecht meat in South America, Eretz Yisrael, what they would do is that they would put the head of the animal into some sort of a brace, and the entire animal was hanging in the air. And when as the animal is hanging in the air with the head in the brace, they would shecht the animal. And he says that that is not a kosher shechita, because he says that we have to be concerned that because the entire weight of the animal's upside down, and because the animal's upside down, and the entire weight of the animal is resting, so to speak, on its head, and it's very possible that the simonim, because of the weight of the animal, move out of place, and since the simonim move out of place, that with the squall, we're talking about an animal, where even though Al Gemara has a discussion about if the simonim are out of the place, what is the halacha by the shechita of a oif, by a shechita of a behema, there's no question that that would be a disqualification, and therefore one has to be most careful to make sure to shecht not in a way, says the Har Tzvi, that could cause the animal to be moved out of place. Says the Gemara, so how will we explain Shmuel's opinion? Amar Papa, what Shmuel's coming to teach us, Lemute Roisha, that the halacha is that just like if you did Shechita on the head, on top of the head of the animal, it's invalid Shechita, so too by Malika. Ask the Gemara, Roisha Pshita. We know that that can't possibly be a proper Malika. The halacha, as we keep on repeating in our shurim, is that the Torah says, Mimol Arpay Amrachmana. It has to be Mimola Ayrif. And Roshoy is not Mola Ayrif. So that can't be what Shmuel is coming to teach us. Answers the Gemara, my Roshoy. What was the Roshoy that Rapapa referred to was Shippuri Roshoy. What does that mean? Kigoin, the knock at Mishippuri Roshoy, where the head starts to slant down towards the neck, for Higrim. And then he took his fingernail, because we're talking about Malika, va'azal adamote tatoi. And then he came downwards to the place of the Mokam Ashkita, and that's where he did the Malika. And Shmuel has come to teach us that just like by Shechita, if you started with, as we'd spoken our previous year, if you started with HaGrama, and then you moved to Shechita, and then you did the Shechita, it's a disqualified Shechita. Here too, it will be a disqualified Malika, because Rav Huna and Rav Asi, like what Rav Huna and Rav Asi taught us in our previous year, the Amar Rav Huna and Rav Asi, Higrim Shlish, V'Shakat Shnei Shlish, the halacha will be, since you began by doing an hagroma, that the halacha will be that it's possible. The Rashba explains that what's the Gemara trying to teach us? That there are various halachas that we speak about by Shechita, Shia, Drasa, different halachas that apply by Shechita and don't apply by Malika. So we would think perhaps that Hagroma doesn't apply by Malika also. Teaches us the Gemara that that's not true. And the way I saw the Mefarshim explain is that the Rashba explains, the Gemara is coming to teach us that really what's a disqualification by Shechita ought to be a disqualification by Malika as well. The only reason it's not is because the act of Malika, the way we do Malika, is different than the way we do Shechita. But it doesn't mean that these disqualifications, were they of concern, would not be concerned by Malika. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei de Rav Ravashi, Hadatani Rama Bechasko, Ein Ikas Manan Ba'if, that the soul of Ikur doesn't apply by an oif. Says the Gemara, Loi Plana, Loi Mara Elaman, the Amma Ein Shechita Life Min HaTaira, that the entire Shechita, the entire Halacha of Shechita by an oif is only Midrabonin. So, with the Raisa, there is no Chiyiv Shechita. That means, according to this man, the Amr, there is no Hilchish Shechita. And as we just explained, all the Halachas that we've been speaking about Shechita don't apply by oif. All you have to do is make sure that the simonim of a bird, of the kana veshit are severed, and it doesn't become an avela, or only if it died by itself, or you killed it without severing the simonim. That means you would shoot it, you would choke it, but if you sever the simonim, according to the mandama that holds ein shechita la'if min ha'tayra, there's no problem with ikur. And why is ikur, asked the Ran, from all the various halachas of hilchas shechita, why is the Gemara singling out that if we hold ein shechita la'if min ha'tayra, the halacha is there's no problem with ikur? So it goes back to what we discussed earlier. We mentioned earlier, when we speak about ikur, ikur has two definitions. One is the knife, and one is that the simonim are not in the right place. The Ran wants to suggest that the other halakas of Shechita, if the Rabbanon said that we should check, that is the way Shechita has to be done. Ikur, where the simonim are not in the right place, doesn't speak to the hilcha, to the way the Shechita is done. It speaks to where the simonim are. And therefore, says the Ran, that the other halachas midrabanan would apply. But the halacha of ikur, the type of ikur that we're speaking about in our shir, with a samanama in the wrong, not in the right place. So if we're saying the shechita midrabanan, so once the shechita midrabanan, we have to do shechita in a proper fashion. But if there's no shechita, but if it's only midrabanan, the rabbanan don't, the Rabbanan tell us how to do the Shechita, but the Rabbanan aren't focused on where to do the Shechita. Av l'manda amar, continues the Gemara, l'manda amar yesh Shechita life min ha'tayra. If you are of the opinion that birds also have to have Shechita midaraisa, so as we've been discussing in our shiurim, the halacha is that there would be no, then there's ikur, because ikur is a halacha in Shechita. There are different opinions in the Rishonim and the Achronim about when we speak about shechita by an oif, do all the halachas apply? For example, I saw that Tashbatz wants to discuss, is there a din of hagroma by an oif? Because as we spoke in our previous shiurim, when we spoke about hagroma, the Gemara focused that there's a long windpipe, and the Gemara was very focused, where on the kana do we do the shechita? But the Tashbatz suggests that the entire kana of a bird is just one pipe, so to speak, and doesn't have these various parts, the helmet, and the shipur kaiva, etc., and the tabos, and therefore those halachas about a groma will not be applicable. Says the Gemara Amalei, to which Rav Ashi said to Rav Acha, Adrabbe Ibchem Stabra, we can make a counter argument. According to the opinion that holds that there is shechita by an oif, we could say that this is the way that it was taught. Ein ikur, that even though there is hilchas shechita, there is no ikur. The halacha of Moshe Sinai tells us that halacha of ikur doesn't apply by a bird. And even according to the opinion that says that the halacha of shechita is oif, the halacha that we have to do shechita by an oif is learned from the halacha of how we do shechita by an animal, because the Torah Kedosh uses the words zois teres behema oif. That isn't troubling, says the Gemara. And the reason why it's not troubling is because the halacha l'moshe Messina will teach us the le'inyan ikur lo'y havik behema. That even though the Torah compares the bird to the animal and tells us that just like an animal has to have shechita, so too must the bird have a shechita. That's only regarding all the other halachas, but not regarding the halacha of ikur. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that a hekesh could only be taught the way it was accepted from our Rebbe. And what the Gemara is teaching us is that the hekesh compares a bird to behema, but the same hekesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us to compare the bird to the animal, he also told us at the same time, regarding ikur, birds are not treated like animals. Taisus seems to learn a little differently. It seems that Taisus' opinion is that a hekesh does not have to be only with a mesira, but they could still have this halacha Moshe Sinai that there is no ikur by a bird. Simpler ways, like Rashi, there's a hekesh that compares them, but the same source of the hekesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is teaching us that the halacha doesn't apply by ikur, is an exception. It doesn't apply to birds. But it says the Gemara, according to Mandomer, the whole chiv of shechita by bird is only midrabanan. Mehecha gemirale, and how do we know that? Because we compare it to an animal. So if we're comparing the bird to an animal, so then our halacha ought to be that we should treat the bird exactly like we treat the like an animal. Kulim milska behemoth, the halacha ought to be they should be treated entirely the same way. Says the Gemara, Amar Vina, Amar Le Ravin Bakasi, Hadatani Ram Yuchasko, Ain Ika Simana Ba'if, when he said that there's no issue of Ikur, it's only Loyamar Alba Malika, when we're killing the bird through Malika. That's where this halacha would apply. Av B'Shchita, by Shchita of a bird, there's going to be an Ikur. Ask the Gemara, Vama Rami. Amar of Yirmiyah Amishmul Kol Hakasha B'Shchita Connect the Ba'arif Kasha B'Malika. The Mishnah said that whatever is accepted by Shchita, that's what you do by Malika. Hapasol, if something is this question is not acceptable by Shchita, which means in our Gemara, Ikur will also be possible for Malika. So how could you suggest that Shchita and Malika are going to be treated differently? Asked the Gemara. As far as Ikur is concerned, answers the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who said that Shechita and Malika treated the same way, is arguing on Rabban Bakissi, and Rabban Bakissi is going to differentiate as far as Hilchus Malika, as far as Ikur is concerned, between Shechita and Malika. So, according to this opinion that we're learning now, the Gemara has a fundamental discussion if there's Shechita ben Oif Midarais or not. The Torah speaks, and we learned it extensively when we learned Masechta Zvachim, about an Avelus Oif Tahar. An Avelus of Tahar is a kosher bird that is an Avela, that we learned that it has a very unique halacha, that one becomes Tameh by having the Avelus Oif Tahar in his throat, not through touching or carrying. So as Tosis, according to the opinion, that Ein Shechita Oif Mina Torah, how do we have Avelus Oif Tahar? In Midaraisa, there's no chiv to shech the bird, so how can we ever have a case that a bird should become Avelus Oif Tahar? A Avela is a bird that was killed without Shechita. But if we're learning now that there's no din of Shechita by a bird, so how does it become Avelus Oif Tahar? Answers Tosfos, that even according to the opinion that there's no chiv Shechita by a bird, it still requires, as we've been said many times, that the only way you could eat a bird is if the simonim was severed. If the simonim weren't severed, then the halacha would be you could not eat that bird. And we actually discussed this concept when we spoke on Daf Yud Zayin about Rabbi Kiva's opinion, who said that they ate basa nechira in the Midbar, only they came to Eretz Yisrael. Because the Rabbi Kiva asks a question. Even if we'll say, as Rabbi Kiva said, that they ate animals in the Midbar just through Nechira, so what's pshat when the Torah said, Lo Soichel Kol Nevela? They were not allowed to eat a Nevela. How was there any Nevela if everything in the Midbar, What does it mean that something is usur because of nevela, if there was no chiv of shechita in the midbar? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that even Rabbi Kiva, who holds that in the midbar they ate meat through nechira, still there was a requirement that the simonim be severed, and that requirement was even in the midbar. And therefore, it was possible to have nevela in the midbar where it didn't have to have shechita, but the animal did not die through the severing of the simonim. It died because it was just shot or strangulated, etc. Number zero, nishbara mafrekes, if the neck bone was broken, v'roi basa ima, and most of the flesh that's there, also, and the halacha is it becomes nevela immediately, even though the animal is still moving around, and the halacha is and yadu shechita while the animal is still thrashing around, that animal will still be considered a nevela. That means when we shecht an animal and we discover that it has one of the things that will make it a treifa, so of course the animal is not kosher. Of course, we may not eat that animal, but it's not a nevela, which carries with it the tumas nevela. But here, if the animal is slaughtered, and when it's in this point, the shechita is a meaningless shechita, and the animal will be a nevela. Amar Rav Chisda said, "Afanan nami tanina," and we learned this in the Mishnah. He says, and therefore the question is, what is the Iri coming to teach us? We learned in the Mishnah Molek Basakin, if you did the Malika with a knife, the halacha is that Malika is a invalid Malika, and therefore the bird becomes Nevela, and the halacha is Matama Begodim Beis Abli, as we just learned, Nevela is Matama Beis Abli when the Nevela is your mouth. The Amrit, if you're going to say that it's only the Shechita is considered a valid Shechita, and therefore, of course, the animal is not kosher, but it's only a treifa. So then, melikasa zu shchitasai. If it's a bird that's kachim, that's the equivalent of shchita. And therefore, Tahanale, Sakin, the Shechita should accomplish that even though, as I keep on repeating, we won't be able to eat the meat, but it should be accomplished, Latarim de Nevela, that it should not be a Nevela, since we see here that if the it's broken, if the Mafrekis' bone is broken, that makes it into already like a Nevela, so we learned that Halacha. Answers the Gemara, Amri, we can't learn this Halacha from the Mishnah. Ziris halacha cannot be extrapolated from the Mishnah because hasam glav shchita cloud. In the Mishnah, we're not doing an act of shchita; we're doing an act of malika. So malika on such a bird will not make, will keep it as a nevela. But we were speaking. Ziri is speaking about shchita. Says the Gemara, my Tama, ask the Gemara, what's the reason that this shchita, if you did it after the bone was broken, is not considered an act of shchita at all. And that's why it will remain a nevela. Says Ravuna, Ravuna Mamnei Shumachlet, if when you the when you do shchita that way, the halacha is that the what happens is the mafrekis covers up the knife. That Rav Amar Neshu Doris. If you do malika that way, you're not doing it, you're pressing down, and therefore it won't be considered valid. So again, the reason why this shchita is not considered valid, because the mafrekis covers up the simonim, but when the simonim, when the mafrekis is broken, the halacha is that that's not considered a valid shchita. And the other reason is that when you do shchita, the malika is done with a fingernail. And now, where you're doing, when you're putting the knife, for example, on the simonim of the behema, it's like you're doing a drusa, you're not cutting, you're piercing. Mandam mnei shumachle, my tamalim, ask the Gemara. Mandam mnei shumachle, my tamalim, mnei shudairis. Says the Gemara, because he holds melech mevi malika's kosher, and therefore, it doesn't disqualify it. Amanda Amar Neshu Doris by Tamalayim Shnei Machlet. Amla, so which Rava explains what is the case of Chaloda, Kecholda Darbe Ikre Batim, the Mechasya, where it's completely covered up. Hacham, where you could see the knife, that's not called Hamagali, it's not considered Chaloka. Amar Rava, Ikashli Hakashli. If I have any question on Ziri, this is my question. He says that We have a fundamental problem. Because if when you break the mafrekis, we say that the animal becomes a nevela, so if that's the case, the halacha by malika, as we've been discussing in our shir, is that's the way the malika should be done, by piercing the mafrekis. So the animal is already halachically considered not alive. So v'chimesa oimer malik. How can you do malika on a dead bird? The Torah says we do malika on a live bird. Amalei Abaye, to which Abaye asks, "V'tikshlei oilos oif." When the Torah speaks about the malika's oil for oif, the Abaye shnei simonim. That the Torah says that there we have to pierce both simonim, the kana and the veshit. But we know, asked the Gemara, that a bird's life is not the same as an animal. An animal only expires when you have pierced both simonim. A bird expires even because the entire chiyus, the entire life of the bird, is much more minimal. It expires even just with one simon. So now we have a question. The halacha requires that when we kill an oilus oif, we have to pierce both simonim. But as soon as you pierce one simon, the bird is not considered halachically alive. If the bird is not considered halachically alive, you're doing malika on a dead bird. That's not a malika. Answers the Gemara. Amalei Abaye, Amalei Rava. Rava says to Abaye, Hasam kedei l'kayim mitzvah savdola. There's two halachas when we speak about our saif, as we'll be speaking about. There's one point of doing malika, which is the way we eliminate the bird. And then there's another halacha, that we have to separate the head of the oilus oif from the rest of its body, and we burn the head separately and the battery separately, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in our coming shiur. So that's why the Torah says, by Oilus Oif, we have to do Malika on both Simonim. Because indeed, after we did Malika on the first Simon, that's all that we really needed to do, if all of our goal was just to kill the bird. But here we also have to separate the head from the body. That's why we do Malika on the second Simon. But by the Chatas Oif, where there is no halacha of Havdalah, separating the head from the body, and therefore the Torah only requires Malika of one simen, which is the way the animal expires. The halacha is, now the question is, why, if that's all that's required, why is it considered a good Malika when we do the second simen? It's already dead. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, if the Torah said that the only time reason we do it is for both simonim, or Nami, so then the halacha is that we should have to cut the skin also. Why does the Torah tell us by Oil Sa'if that we only have to cut the Simonim and not the Or? Answers the Gemara, Kol HaMakav Shechita, anything that has to be done by Shechita, which we know we have to cut both Simonim, Makav B'Avdolah, that's why we have to do by a bird, we have to cut both Simonim. Kol She'en HaMakav Shechita, Ein HaMakav B'Avdolah. And since by an animal there is no chiyuv to cut the skin, so then the halacha is, by Oil Sa'if, even though we have a din of Havdalah, but that isn't required that we cut the or. So, as the Rishonim explained, that of course we have to cut the or when we do a shechita. The reason we have to cut the or when we do a shechita is because otherwise that would be chalada. Chalada is when we stick the knife in under the skin. That, however, there is no specific requirement to cut the skin. What will be if you'll have an animal that doesn't have skin on that spot? So then you don't have to cut the skin. The cutting of the skin is not fundamental to the shechita. But ask the Gemara, if you didn't shecht the entire simen, you just shechted most of the simen, Rabbanon, that say that you have to cut the entire, you have to do Malika on the entire simen. So, as asked the Gemara, we're saying now the halacha of shechita and the halacha of Malika travel together. Ask the Gemara, that really isn't accurate. But mitzmanim l'rabbanon, the loyma akva b'shechita, by shechita, if you did roiv simonim, it's acceptable. And it's acceptable l'chatchila. And it is a problem by Malika. Alei mekol sheyeshna b'shechita. Any place where you have to do shechita, yeshna b'avdolah. And therefore, since l'chatchila, you should cut the entire simonim by shechita, even though it's not absolutely essential, you do so by Malika. But something that doesn't have any requirement by shechita, ein b'avdolah, is not required by havdolah. And therefore, the halacha will be that by Malika, you have to cut the two simonim, because that's corresponding to what we do by shechita. The or, even though there's a halacha that we have to separate the head from the body, yes, there's a halacha that we have to separate the head from the body, but that's a separate halacha. That doesn't affect the kashrus of that act of Malika.